Everybody's life is full of something. You see, when Peter started walking on the water, it was full of faith. But as soon as he started looking at the wind, suddenly his life is full of fear instead of faith, and he's drowning.
This is Straight Talk.
Thank you for tuning in to Straight Talk Radio. My name is Joshua Hollick. Pleased to be your host today, along with Pastor Mark Jobe, Senior Pastor of New Life Community Church. Pastor Mark, you are wrapping up today the final message in a powerful series called Don't Stop Believing. We've looked at the life of Abraham. We've gone through the walk of faith in Hebrews. And there's people today who are going to really be impacted by this message, but they've missed some messages along the way. Where can they find those messages?
Yeah, so if you're at the tail end of this and you haven't caught any of these messages, or you've caught two or three and want the entire series, we have a solution just for you. Yeah, it's the Straight Talk app. Actually, thousands of people have downloaded it already, and it is a free app that allows you to access over 43 currently series of teachings, including this series called Don't Stop Believing. Joshua, how would they access that?
The easiest way is to visit our website, www.pastormarkjobe.com, markjobe.com, J-O-B-E. And you can download, there's links there to download it, or you can find it on Google Play or the App Store or iTunes. And it's an easy way to share series, messages with other people. There's an audio Bible on there. There's other resources to help you grow in your faith. And we are just delighted to bring this to you for absolutely no cost to you. We just love serving you.
And you know what I love about this is that some people tell me, Pastor, I've had to wait till 10 o'clock at night till the program comes on to listen to it. So now, if you're an early morning person, you can get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and listen whenever you want. Or if you're commuting, listen to wherever you want. Or, like I do, when I'm working out at the gym, I love to listen to podcasts and just get a physical workout and a spiritual workout as well.
We've had truck drivers tell us, you know, I pop on the app and I just listen straight through as I drive across the country to message after message. It's a powerful solution.
In fact, we have people in multiple countries that listen to this because, you know, that you can access it via the internet, and people in Puerto Rico, people in Spain, Germany, multiple countries. So we encourage you, download it today.
Thousands of people are enjoying it. We hope you do as well. Go to www.pastormarkjobe.com.
You may be out there and saying, well, you know what? I got faith. Okay, what are you believing for? You say, well, I'm believing for 3 Rolls Royce. Okay. And what are you doing? Well, I'm envisioning it. I mean, I'm imagining myself driving in that. I got this mental picture, all right? Man, I smell the leather already. I can smell it. Yeah, I'm feeling the steering wheel right now. I'm picturing myself driving on it. I see that emblem in the front of the Rolls Royce. All the people are looking at me and saying, where did you get that car? Man, I could see it in my eyes of faith. You say, well, how do you know God's going to give it to you? Because I'm really trying hard to believe for it. Okay? Now, what's the difference between desire and sanctified desire? And that person may say, hey, in Psalms it says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the... Let's say it again. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the... desires of your heart. So you say, so this person believing for the Rolls Royce says, well, hey, I'm believing for those Rolls Royce, and when I come to church, I'm dancing around a little bit, raising my hand, I'm delighting in the Lord, imagining those Rolls Royce, and they're going to be mine. Well, let me just sort of define that a little bit better. What does it mean to delight ourselves in the Lord? It doesn't mean that you jump around a little bit higher and yell a little bit louder. To delight yourself in the Lord means that you get your joy out of being with God. And that your enjoyment and delight is in communion with God. And listen what happens. Hear me well. God has a plan for your life. And sometimes you have a plan for your life. But when you are rejoicing in God, worshiping God, delighting in Him, where walking with God is a real joy to your life, where you love being in the presence of God, where His voice speaks to you, then what happens is that your desires start to be shaped, your desires start to be shaped by God's desires. And the more you delight yourself in the Lord, the more there is alignment until your desires and God's desires are the same desires. So you find whatever you desire is fulfilled, not because you visualize something, but because God has gotten a hold of your desires, and now your desires have become the same as God's desires, and everything you desire now is fulfilled. Are you tracking with me? So if God gets a hold of your desires, he says, well, you know, I know those three Rolls Royce are your desires, but hang out with me, worship a little bit more, and God starts changing your desires. Suddenly it's the three Rolls Royce goes to maybe one. Goes to, I could do with a BMW. Goes to, you know what, I'm really delighting in the Lord. I've seen this youth ministry. Hey, you know what? What I need is a minivan because I could give youth a ride to youth group. And suddenly, you're excited. You come up and say, guess what? God gave me a minivan. He says, what happened to your three Rolls Royce? I don't know. I don't want them anymore. I want a minivan because I want to pick up youth and bring them to youth group. And suddenly, your desires are God's desires. And you're as excited about getting a minivan as you are about getting those three Rolls Royce. Why? Because God has shaped your desires to align with his desires. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Peter said, Lord, tell me to come. And Jesus said, come. His desire was confirmed by the word. Now notice what happens next. I love this because now Peter defies the laws of gravity. How many of you know that the spiritual laws are higher than the natural laws? And how many of you understand that God is not limited to the laws of nature? Someone says, well, I read the Bible and Jesus walked on the water. I mean, that's not possible. It's not possible in the natural world, but God is not limited to the natural world. God is above and beyond the natural world. I mean, Jesus rose from the dead. That's not possible. In the natural, it's not. But God's not limited to the natural laws. God supersedes the laws of nature. Well, it's not possible that that tumor would just disappear. In the natural, it's not, but in the supernatural, it is. God has never been limited to the natural laws. God breaks all the natural laws when he wants to. God is supernatural, not bound to the natural. And so Peter, imagine Peter, he says, okay, here I go, Jesus. He gets out in the water, steps down. He starts walking. Amazing. All the disciples are looking. Hey, check it out, Andrew, I'm walking on the water. He's walking on the water. Man, this is weird. This is cool. He's looking at Jesus, full of faith, defying the laws of nature. Why? Because he had a desire that was confirmed by the word, and he's operating in faith, and he's walking on the water, and then there comes a but. How many of you know that our faith is always challenged by the but? Amen. Look what it says. But Peter's walking on the water. Verse 30. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, oh Lord, save me. You see, your life has to be filled with something. I got something in this cup here. You don't know what it is, but see, I do. Could be a margarita. Vodka on the rocks. If I wasn't Pastor Mark, it could be, but I'm Pastor Mark, so it's not. The orange juice, tomato juice, but it's not. But this life is like your life. Your life is full of something. You say, well, not me. No, you can't operate in empty. It's full of yourself. It's full of fear. It's full of doubt. It's full of faith. It's full of God. It's full of something. It's full of greed. It's full of something. You don't operate on the empty. Everybody's life is full of something. The question is, what is it full of right now? You see, when Peter started walking on the water, it was full of faith. But as soon as he started looking at the wind and looking at the water and looking at the storm, then his life was full of faith, and suddenly it went from being full of faith to having some faith and some fear and doubt. And as soon as he started sinking, his mind said to himself, exactly what I thought, I'm going to fail. And suddenly his life is full of fear instead of faith, and he's drowning. That's the way it is in your life and my life. Some of you started out with faith, and then something happened. You got your eyes off Jesus. You saw some stuff. You started to sink, and immediately all your fears and drought started to come true because you said exactly what I thought. And now you started to sink, and your faith, you don't know where it went. And Peter says, oh, Lord, save me. He's crying out. I love the response of Jesus, by the way. Don't you love Jesus' response? Immediately, Jesus doesn't say, okay, all right, swim now. No, I'm not going to help you. Do it on your own. You doubted. It's your fault now. No, he doesn't do that. It says immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You know what he tells him? You of little faith. Amen. Why did you doubt? Peter, why'd you doubt? I mean, you were doing so good. Why did you have to let doubt replace your faith and cause you to sink? Because as long as you had faith, there was no problem. But as soon as you started to doubt, then it was a major, 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 major catastrophe. See, that's the way it is in our life. Some of you were doing really good in your Christianity or in your finances. Or maybe you were practicing the 10-10-8 and you said, look at this, it's really working. I got a bonus, I got a paycheck, and then your furnace went out. I knew this was going to happen. I knew it wasn't going to work. I knew, and then suddenly everything starts hitting you. And suddenly you say, you know, 10-10-80, my 10-10-8 is going to be 1-1-98. And you're operating in fear. You're saying, it's not working. I know it's not going to work for me. It works for Pastor Mark because he's a pastor, but not for me because I'm not a pastor. No, this is the Word of God for everybody, not just for me. It's the Word of God for everybody, everybody's Word of God. Peter starts sinking. Jesus catches him. Peter, why did you doubt? You didn't have to doubt. You could still walk in the water. It could have ended up, he hugs Jesus and said, let's walk back to the boat together. Come on, let's just walk. But instead he started to doubt. Why did you doubt, oh you of little faith?
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to our Straight Talk radio message called Faith. You can't live without it. Which is from Pastor Mark Jobe's series called Don't Stop Believing, The Power of Relentless Faith. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Our message is called Faith. You can't live without it.
Well, you say, well, Pastor, what does faith do in our life? Faith does a lot of things in our life. I don't have time to read to you Hebrews chapter 11. But it tells us that faith gives us approval with God. It tells us that by faith we understand. Listen, by faith we understand that everybody that has ever existed from time past gets their approval before God through faith. By faith we understand that the worlds were created. That God made out of that which was not that which should be. By faith we understand that God spoke and created the universe. That's by faith. In fact, do you know what it tells us in Romans? I love this verse in Romans. In Romans it says this. It tells us that, Romans 4:17, the God who gave life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. God speaks and calls things that are not as though they were. In other words, when it's not there, God speaks as though it were there. And then it becomes a reality. Because God sees it. By faith we get righteousness. Listen, I want you to know, understand me. In Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6, I want you to memorize this verse. Jot it down. Circle it. Enlarge it. Put marks in your Bible. Because it's so key that you understand this verse. Listen, Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 says this. Without faith, It is impossible to please God. Because those that come to God must believe, first of all, that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those that earnestly or diligently seek Him. See, if you have faith, there's two things that have to happen. What does faith do? Faith makes you approved before God. You cannot be accepted before God without faith. You say, well, I want to really please God. Well, have faith. You see, if you really have faith and you're trying to get close to God, there's two things that you have to believe. One, you have to believe that God is. You see, most people in the world believe that God is. In fact, there's only a very small percentage of people in the world that claim to be atheists, that claim that God is not. And most of the people that I've run into that say, well, I'm an atheist. You know why they're atheists? They're not atheists because they've really thought it through. Typically, they're atheists because they've been burned by someone and they choose not to believe. They've been hurt, and so they say, I don't believe. And I've seen a lot of those atheists, by the way, on their deathbed, suddenly they're searching, scratching for God. And say, okay, I think I believe now. I heard of a guy, by the way, this is a true story. Quite a few years back, there was a renowned atheist that met at a university to debate a Christian scholar. And the atheist said to them, to the crowd that was gathered, he said, I'm going to prove that there is no God. He said, watch this. And he raised his voice to heaven and he said, God, if you're real, strike me dead in the next 5 minutes. Everybody kind of gasped a little bit. He kept on talking and so forth. After 5 minutes, he was still alive. He said, look, check your clocks. It's been 5 minutes. God isn't real. I'm still alive. It proves there is no God. When the meeting was over, one young man was all perturbed by what happened, and he was saying, boy, I guess he really proved a point. I mean, if God was there, he should have struck him dead, don't you think? A little old lady was walking out. She said, he sure did prove a point. She said, you know what he proved? He proved that even the most diehard, hard-headed, obstinate sinner cannot exhaust the patience and the mercy of God in just 5 minutes. That's true. But he that comes to God must believe that he is, not that he is a force and an energy and some generic, undescribable power of the universe, but that he is a person, an intelligent designer that is there. That's the first thing. You must believe that God is. And secondly, on the tails of that, you must believe that God is a rewarder of those that earnestly or diligently seek him. What does that mean? That means that, listen, where there's a lot of faith, there will be a lot of people that are earnestly seeking God. The lower the faith, the lower the seeking. The greater the faith, the more the seeking. Let me say that again. True faith causes us to pursue God. Why? Because true faith tells us that God rewards those that seek Him. Where there's a lot of faith, there's fasting and prayer and believing and coming before God. Where the faith is high, you know that when I seek God, He rewards me. If I'm having trouble, I go to God. If there's a challenge I can't face, I pray, I seek God, I come because I say, God, you know my problem. You will reward me when I diligently, earnestly seek you. That's real faith. If you want to know if a church has a lot of faith, hey, are they seeking God? Are people seeking God? Are they coming to God? When you're faced with a crisis, are you pursuing God? Are you pressing in? Are you saying, God, I'm going to press in because I know that you will reward me when I seek after you? You see, there's no way of pleasing God without faith. Let me close with this. Let me wrap things up. You say, well, I want more faith then. Pastor, where does faith come from? If faith is so important, how do I get faith? Let me close this message by telling you where faith comes from. And in order to do that, I'm going to have to turn your attention to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Okay? Romans is right after the book of Acts. And this is a powerful passage on faith. Look at what it says in Romans chapter 10, verse 8. It says, but what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and it is in your heart, that is the word of faith. What word is it talking about? The word. What's it called? It's called the word of faith. Why? Because wherever the word goes, it produces faith. Let me explain it this way. If this were full of water, you'd call it the cup of what? A cup of water. Now, is the cup made out of water? No, the cup contains water. Wherever it goes, it carries the water. So you would call it the cup of water. Just like the word of faith. The word carries faith, so wherever it goes, it spreads faith. Now, I happen to have in my hand a cup of seeds. Because in the Bible, the Bible talks about if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, be moved, and it will. So wherever I take this cup, I take the seeds. If this were the word and these were faith seeds, they're actually bird seeds, but if they were faith seeds, wherever the word goes, wherever the word scatters, guess what? It scatters seeds, faith seeds. The word goes over here, guess what? There's some seeds, faith seeds. And the word's over here in this end, you're hearing the word, guess what? There's some faith seeds. Someone said, give me some, I want some over here, pastor, throw them. It's just bird seed, come on, it's illustration. We're not going to start selling this on the internet as faith seeds. Get your faith seeds for the day. No, it's bird seeds. But here's the thing. Wherever the word goes, it carries the seeds of faith. I want you to hear me well. Look at what it says in verse 14. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can we call on a God we haven't believed in? Well, how can they believe in one of whom they have not heard? How can I call a God if I don't believe in that God? And how can I believe in him if I've never heard about him? And how can I hear about him unless someone preaches them to me? And how can there be a preacher unless someone is sent? So it all starts with the preaching of the word. Listen, verse 17. Consequently, faith comes by what? Hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing. Not hearing just anything, but hearing the word of Christ. I want to make this very clear. That's why when you come on Sunday morning, you're always going to see a Bible in my hand. Why? Because faith comes not by Pastor Mark's opinions, but by the word. You say, well, you know, I really like New Life, but they're kind of like too into the Bible. You know, I like the music and the nice stories, but I just wish they weren't in the Bible so much. I mean, it's like chapter, verse, and study, and Greek, and now the... You know, can't we have a nice New Life without being so into the Bible, so literate? No, you can't. Because you take the Bible out of New Life, you take the power out of New Life. It's the power of the Word. It's the power of the Word to change lives. You see, you hear the word changes lives. Let me close with this. Then it says, for when you come to God, listen to what it says earlier. It talks about coming to God. It says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be what?
Saved.
You'll be saved. Saved? Saved from what? Saved from the wrath of God. Save means that you'll be forgiven and saved from the wrath, that you'll be changed. Why? For it is with the heart that you believe, that's faith, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. If you don't believe it enough to speak it, then you don't believe it enough. Faith is in here, and then it leads you to speak it. You say, well, I believe it, I don't. You know, if you believe it enough, then you start speaking it. I believe it enough, I start speaking, Jesus is Lord.
This has been the second half of our message called Faith. You can't live without it. Join us again on the next Straight Talk for more of our current series called Don't Stop Believing. As I mentioned earlier, if you would like to have a copy of this message or the entire series, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will also find helpful tools that will help you in your walk with God. If you prefer to have a CD of the message, please contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping, and Pastor Mark's first book, Unstuck, is also available for only $10 plus shipping. If you are looking for a home church, we invite you to check out one of our 25 New Life locations throughout Chicagoland. Just log on to newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would really love to meet you. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself. Please do tune in again on the next Straight Talk as we continue on with our series called Don't Stop Believing, The Power of Relentless Faith. Have a great night. God bless.